From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota has altered its plans to change its payment methodology. Lori Nelson, Blue Cross Vice President, contacted Cook County North Shore Hospital Administrator Kimber Ralstead this week. Ralstead told WTIP the adjustments will apply to all rural critical access hospitals. Blue Cross had originally scheduled major payment changes to smaller hospitals on the 1st of May. Implementation of the new system has now been moved to the 1st of January. Individual hospitals have negotiated contracts with Blue Cross for how they are reimbursed and at what rates. The insurer had proposed major changes to those contracts. Ralstead said Blue Cross will assist hospitals in obtaining the 3M Grouper software and pay for half of the software costs for 1 year. The software provides a coding mechanism hospitals use to bill Blue Cross for reimbursements. The Minnesota Hospital Association maintained the May 1st changeover was too soon to accommodate adopting the complex coding system. In addition, Ralstead said, quote, Blue Cross will develop some type of process or safety net for critical access hospitals with insufficient operating margins to cover the cost of Blue Cross commercial members, unquote. She added, at this time, neither Blue Cross nor the hospital will be proceeding with termination as an institutional service provider. Ralstead had received a service termination letter from Blue Cross late last week. On Monday of this week, the Department of Health Commissioner Ed Ellinger and Attorney General Lori Swanson met individually with Blue Cross executives to discuss the issue. Ralstead said, quote, We are appreciative that Michael Guyette, Blue Cross CEO, and his executive management team are willing to participate in negotiations so that the community members and visitors to Cook County will continue to have access to services at Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center, unquote. When the 1,000-foot freighter Edgar B. Steer departed Two Harbors earlier this week for a steel mill in Gary, Indiana, it left with a load of 60,000 tons of taconite. The Duluth News Tribune reports that while it might sound like a lot of iron ore, it's 10,000 tons less than a full load. And that's the problem that shipping industry and port officials are calling the Great Lakes dredging crisis. That much taconite left behind amounts to enough ore to make 6,700 tons of steel and thousands of automobiles, all because one segment in the Great Lakes shipping system was clogged. While the harbor at Two Harbors is more than the 28 feet needed for Great Lakes freighters at full capacity, there's a portion of the St. Mary's River near Sault Ste. Marie that has filled in with sediment to less than 26 feet deep. To get through that section, ships passing through must be light enough to clear the bottom. And there are dozens more clogged sites like that across the lakes, filled in with sediment that isn't being dredged out because of a lack of action in Washington. The problem is a $200 million backlog of dredging across the Great Lakes because Congress won't release money from the Federal Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. That fund, stocked with port user fees paid by shippers, now sits at more than $7 billion and growing. Harbor operators say it's not being spent because the fund balance helps offset the federal budget deficit. But the stalemate has become a crisis during the longest period of low water since 1918. New federal data confirm that anglers who enjoy Minnesota's sky blue waters are still a powerful engine for the state's economy. Data from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service show that direct spending by resident and non-resident anglers in Minnesota totaled $2.4 billion in 2011. That's the latest year for which information is available. That amount includes $1.4 billion on equipment and $925 million on trip-related spending. The agency also says angler spending supports about 35,000 Minnesota jobs. The Department of Natural Resources notes that only three states recorded higher spending on sport fishing than Minnesota. They were Florida, New York, and Michigan. Minnesota's lowest wage workers are closing in on a government-mandated raise. The State House planned to vote on Friday on a bill dramatically boosting the minimum wage. The current $6.15 minimum would raise in steps until reaching $9.50 in 2015. After that, it would raise yearly at the rate of inflation. Most workers earn at least the federal hourly minimum of $7.25. Service industry officials say the bill could force them to shed workers to keep costs down. The Democratic-sponsored measure would also cut the number of hours someone must work before automatically receiving overtime pay, taking it from 48 hours to 40. A companion Senate bill has yet to receive a vote. It calls for a smaller series of increases, but it too would tie the wage to inflation going forward. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.